Today, I want to preach a message entitled, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. We're just going to keep on the Sunday school song. Remember that song? He got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole. Maybe not. Maybe a little bit more than last service. He's got me and you, brother, in his hands. He's got me and you, your sister. Anyway, that's a good song. That's a classic. Come on now, Sunday school. I want to preach on this today, and I want you to think about that he has the whole world in his hand. And he's protecting us and with us. But I want to ask in the course of this message, probably the more pointed question is, does he have your world in his hand? And that's up to us. We can willingly give him that or resist that. I want to share that today from the scripture. And I want to just tie this into the idea of vision for our life, that God is a big God and that he can do anything. And today is also Pentecost Sunday. And this is where we say, amen, this is where we celebrate 50 days after Easter. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came on 120 people, including Jesus' mother and his siblings. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and everything changed. They had the initial sign of speaking in tongues and a fire set upon each of them. And Peter preached, and 3,000 people were saved that day. And now 2 billion people right now claim Jesus as Lord. Come on, isn't that awesome? Jesus is alive. It's going to be a great day. So, Father, I thank you so much for this moment. And, Lord, we pray for, as we celebrate this holiday, for every family who this weekend maybe is a time of mourning as they remember a loved one, friend who passed away serving our country. Please comfort them with the Holy Spirit, with peace. Bless us in this moment. Keep us safe. And as we go about our week, I pray right now that every one of us would take the courageous step and lay down any resistance, set aside any distraction, lean in for a few moments and receive something from you and then apply it to our life. May your kingdom come and your will be done. And we give you praise in Jesus' name, everyone said. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. This is actually an amazing chapter. Strongly encourage you to read it on your own. The Apostle Peter is encouraging other pastors, commissioning them, and really how to pastor. This is just chucked full of nuggets and insight that I think is good for all of us to apply. And I want to highlight verses 5 through 7. So he's talking to the pastors, and then he says this in verse 5, "In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God." Really, it's really saying humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, same thing. "And at the right time, notice he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." How many are thankful for that? We can cast our care onto God. So notice what I see here in the real, I want to drive this point home in verse 5 and 6 here, where I see humility and pride. And this is something that every human has to navigate. And as you know, matter how spiritual we are or how much of the Bible we know, all of us have to navigate this. And notice the strong language that the Apostle Peter uses through the Holy Spirit here. God opposes the proud, but he resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And there's something about humility. In fact, I put here, humility empowers us in our faith. Humility protects us. Psalms 91, the great psalm of protection, is predicated on you and I being under the shadow of the Almighty, taking refuge in the Lord. Notice it's our part to yield to him, humble ourselves. He's the protector. And when we do that, all those promises of Psalms 91 can be ours. Humility gives us favor. Humility gives us life change. Humility helps lead us to more healing in our life. Humility leads us to self-discovery and having Jesus be more pronounced in us. There's something about humility that all of us can, I would say, reach for and ask God to help us do. Conversely, pride is cunning. Everyone in this room and online has to navigate the sin of pride, just a part of our nature. In fact, the Bible gives two instances describing Lucifer, who we call Satan, and how he fell. That's Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He talks about how he was an archangel, a mighty cherubim, and how he led worship in heaven. But then in Isaiah, it says how he said five times, I will, I will, I will, I will. He was inflicted with the disease of eye, and he was cast down for the iniquity that was found in him. And pride was a big part of that, and we see that in those two references as two different prophets are really describing Satan and how he fell. So pride is something that we have to watch, and pride does the opposite of humility. Pride takes away our power in God. Pride leaves us unprotected. Pride closes doors of opportunity. Pride traps us. King Solomon said that pride goes before a fall, and it leads to self-deception. So in this message today, pride and humility is a big deal. We say it this way at City Church: pride makes excuses, humility makes adjustments. So I want to ask all of us in this moment, what area of our lives are we making excuses in? And then what area of our lives would the Holy Spirit be asking us to make adjustments in? Humility lets God change us. Humility comes under God's plan, God's will, God's way, God's path. And it's saying, God, you know more than me. I yield to you. There's something powerful about a hand. In our culture today, we don't really focus on this, but in Bible days, like even one of the sons of Jacob, Benjamin, whose name means the son of my right hand, when patriarchs would bless their children and grandchildren, it was always with the right hand. It signified power. It signified authority. It signified the blessing coming through it. It's so important that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 that one of the six elementary doctrines of our faith is the doctrine of the laying on of hands. As we pray for people, God can come through our hands somehow, I don't understand it, and touch other people. The Apostle Paul laid hands on Timothy, and he received a spiritual gift through the laying on of his hands. Our hand really is depicting power, control. It has the power to bless and the power to hurt. If you were raised in a home like mine, my parents blessed me with their hand and they spanked me with their hand. Anyone else in a home like that growing up? Amen. I'm better for it. I don't care what they say. Amen. It's good for me. Something about a hand that's powerful. I remember the first time I held Summer's hand. We were downtown. We were dating and we were leaving Starbucks and we were crossing a busy street. And I just reached down and I grabbed her hand and she just melted. And she said, marry me right now. I said, girl, slow down. Slow down. You did that, didn't you? Is that what happened? I said, you got to slow down, man. Come on. I had to keep her away from me for a minute. We got married 2 years later, but anyway. But I remember holding her hand it's a moment that we talk about often. It was just as important as our first kiss or just other first things as we led up to our marriage. So there's something about a hand. Now, obviously, we could talk about our physical hand and the ability that God has given us, but I mean, you understand that I'm not talking about necessarily our physical hand. I'm talking about an idea of leadership and who's in charge of our life. Because what I want to ask you today is whose hand is leading you, your hand or God's hand? All of us have to navigate this question. As we think about the old Sunday school song, and maybe you knew it, maybe you don't, and that's okay. He's got the whole world in his hands. But really, the deeper question is, does he have our world in his hands? He has our world in his hands when you and I do what the scripture says and we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. The hand in this scripture is talking about the leadership, the control. Who is in charge? And it can be our hand, it can be God's hand. just real quick to remind us that our hand is limited. Our control, our leadership has limits. It cannot take us where God can. It cannot do what God can do. It can help us, and we have ingenuity and giftings from God. It's not all a waste. It just can't do the full picture that God can do. Our hand is short-sighted. Our hand is thinking about the right now. Our hand is thinking about, if we're honest, we lean to thinking about me, myself, and I. And so our hand can do certain things, but it can't do what God can do. God's hand is unlimited. God's hand can complete what he starts. His hand can heal. His hand can complete the full picture that God has for our life. His hand can help us break through fear. His hand can bring us into destiny and purpose. His hand can do what we can't do. So when you think about our life, all of us have to make a decision. And of course, it starts with receiving Jesus. Have you received Jesus? If you haven't, do it today. If you have and you're far from God, then come back to him. And then every Christ follower has to make the decision, who is in charge of my life? Is it going to be me or God? The Apostle Peter said, humble yourself under the mighty hand or power of God. Then he will lift you up. There's no doubt that there are certain hands that try to push us down. Maybe the hand of a parent or the hand of an abusive spouse. Maybe the hand of society. Maybe the hand of a coach or a teacher that doesn't like you. Maybe the hand of a culture that wants to keep you in a box. There's no doubt that there's certain hands that want to keep us down. But when you and I are under the hand of God, the Bible says he will lift us up at the right time. In other words, when God is in control, no one can stop what God wants to do in your life. When God is in control, no one can stop his blessing and increase in your life. But if we do life under our control, sometimes other people can stop us, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Come on, give him a big praise real quick. Amen. I don't know. I don't know what you're facing, but I want to encourage you today, let God's hand be the leading influence of your life. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. There were 120 people in the upper room praying and seeking God as Jesus told them to. And the Holy Spirit came on them and moved over them with a mighty rushing wind. Spiritually speaking, fire set upon each of them, and they began to speak in tongues. And in that instance, it was speaking other people's languages supernaturally. And 18 different nations are mentioned there in Acts chapter 2. And they all understood their language, and they were mesmerized by what was happening. And Peter, he stood up and he preached, and 3,000 people were saved in that first day of the church of Jesus Christ being born, if you will. Notice what happened when they were under the hand of God. All of a sudden, God's ability became great in them, and they did supernatural things beyond what they could do without him. I heard one person say, the Holy Ghost will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. Amen, somebody. God will turn you around through the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what that means, go get a comic book. But the Holy Spirit... The Holy Spirit will increase us and elevate us and help us. I pray today in this room and online that all of us would say, more Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit in my life. More Holy Spirit. Come on me, Holy Spirit. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for two amens. But this is good preaching anyhow. More Holy Spirit. He's what we need more of, isn't it? Yes, it is. This is what God wants to do. So I want to encourage you today, when you think about this verse, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. We come under his mighty hand. We're speaking of control, leadership. Our hand, we can battle for control. Who's in charge? In fact, power and control issues are prevalent in a lot of our hearts. And we have to wrestle with that and yield who is in charge. Sometimes our hand has the power to let go and to bless. Other times we can grab on and hold back and say, no, you're not having it. And we do this with our life. God, you can take it. No, you can't. You know, you've seen, maybe you've done this, maybe you haven't, but being, you know, you're in a great moment of worship and you feel the Holy Spirit. You say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. God, I'll do it. I'll do it. God, I love you, God. Go love your neighbor. Anything but that. God, I love you, Jesus. So we're in a battle. We got to yield to the Lord. But he says here, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up. Now, this is a covenant. A covenant is a promise. It's an oath. It's a blood covenant. In the Middle East, even today, certain parts of the Middle East, there is still blood covenants happening in transactional affairs. Two men will cut their hands and bleed and put their hands together and rub it together, and their blood now is smeared with each other. And it is a sign that they have entered into a covenant and it will not be broken. They will fulfill what has been agreed upon. God has made a blood covenant with us. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He was made sin, but he knew no sin, so we could be free from our sin. He shed his blood so that at the name of Jesus, when you call on Jesus, that blood washes you and I white as snow from the inside out, if you will. And you and I can have a clean conscience. Come on. We can be free from shame and guilt. This is a blood covenant. And did you know there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible that is for you and your family? And so when we say yes to God, when we do what God says to do, when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, those promises will come to pass for our lives. But you and I have to do something about it. We can't sit back and say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I expect God to do everything he said. It doesn't work like that. We have to, as you see in Scripture, it's full of, if you do this, if you obey me, if you do this, then I will bless you. Because God came and did his part. Now it's our turn to yield for this message, come under the mighty hand of God and let God do his part. He's got the whole world in his hands. Does he have your world? Is he holding your world today? Have you yielded your world to God? Well, God would just do that automatically. No, not necessarily. You and I have to yield it to him. Now, I want to hit on three things today. I'm not going to be long, but I want to hit on three things. Now, we could list, hundreds of things of every detail of our life. I chose these three things because, to me, they're the, three of the big, massive issues of our life at some level that would impact us with a potential fear, joy, tension, drama, fulfillment, strife, great healing, great pain. These three things are major. And so I want to just hit on these three things to give an idea of humbling ourselves under the hand of God and letting God move in us and really letting God, hold our world. The first is marriage. Now, if you're married today, please receive it. If you want to be, please take notes and get prepared for it. If you don't want to be married, please take notes and help someone else who is married. Amen. But God takes a man and a woman. This is amazing. I thought about this the other day. I asked Summer to marry me, and she said yes. That's a great faith step. We don't know what we're getting into. We're all googly-eyed at the wedding and can't believe what's happening. And then we begin to live together, and all of a sudden we realize we didn't know that about that person. Have you been there before? Some of you are afraid to raise your hand. Keep looking at me right now. Is our marriage under the hand of God that he can lift us up? Now, there's no perfect marriage, never will be, but when my marriage is under the hand of God, what I'm doing is I'm building my house on the rock, Matthew 7, and when the storms come, my house will not falter. My house will stand through the storms. But you got a man, and he has his issues. Then you got a woman, and she... You know what I'm saying. And you bring people together, and they make a commitment. And marriage is a challenge. Some have gone through divorce. Some have lost a spouse through death. Some are navigating different things. And I want to encourage you today that God wants to move in our marriage. We do it God's way, under God's hand. Now, under God's hand means there's no abuse. If we're under the hand of God, sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse should not be in the house of any person that calls on the name of Jesus. And if there is, I pray you seek protection right now. That is not tolerable. It is not tolerable. It should not be tolerated. And so God doesn't approve of abuse in any form. And I want to just say that. But the Bible says, before the a verse in Ephesians 5 that says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. All the men always stick their chest out, that verse. It's kind of, you can see them in their seats. It's kind of, amen. Before that verse, Paul said, submit one to another. So we submit one to another, we help each other out, and we begin to do life in marriage God's way. What does that mean? The expectations of what we do it, and how we treat each other are based on what the Bible says to do. I'm putting my marriage under the hand of God, and I'm asking God to move in it. Ups, downs, absolutely. For better or for worse, richer or poorer, I'm putting myself under God's hand. I'm asking God to move in my marriage, that God would help me love my wife as Christ loves the church. In God's idea of marriage, it's a covenant, not a contract. A contract says, well, you know, we're in a contract. Let's see if it works. You're not making me happy. I think I'm going to try something else. You're not doing what you said you would do, so I think I'm going to bail. A contract is, I don't feel happy every day, so I think I'm going to cancel the contract and sign up with someone different to see if they make me happy. This sex isn't satisfying me, so I'm going to bring a third person. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go out. I'm going to figure out a different way. That's a contract. That's not God's way. God's way is a covenant. It's a covenant that is choosing love more than at times feeling love. It's going to the Word of God and saying, I choose to be married, and I stay married, and when we hit rough spots, we're going to figure this out, and we're going to come on the other side. If you've gone through divorce, I don't judge you. God has something for you, and He can use that for His good. I'm saying today, when we're under the hand of God, He can help any marriage. He can solve any problem. He can restore any pain. He can bring two people back together. Your marriage can make it. But I challenge all of you today to make marriage a covenant, not a contract, where we're in this till death do us part. I know divorce happens, and I'm not judging that. And different scenarios happen. But the idea of our hope and our reach is that we're going to put marriage under God's hand and let our world be in His hand. Can someone say amen? Amen. The second thing I see here that's a big one is money. Since COVID, even before money, but I told recently that there was a high-level CEO about a year and a half ago of a major national corporation that jumped to his death because that corporation shut 50 stores and was going down in the stock market. And he killed himself because of what was happening with the company that he was running. Now, we talk about that in the Great Depression, about, you know, people with a lot of money jumping out of windows in New York City and major cities of our nation because they lost it all, so to speak. Money is an interesting thing. Money can cause a lot of joy and a lot of grief. But I want to say this, money is not the problem. And people say all the time, well, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. They shake their face to get spiritual. All evil. No, that's not even true. That's a misquote of the scripture. If you're going to quote the scripture, quote it right. The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. I got shocking news. Money is not the problem. People are. Amen. So it's our flow with money So this subject causes tension. It can cause so many different elements of our life, and it does all the time. And it's always on our mind because we have bills and we have responsibilities and we have, you know, this and that. So the question is, will you and I put our money under the hand of God and do our money God's way? What does that look like? Is our money under the hand of God? We live by a budget. And we have financial groups here in our, as a group here at our church, to help people have financial literacy, to have a plan for your finances that you can prosper over time. Rich, quick schemes are not of God, and the Bible talks about it. Now, if you win the lotto, tithe. I'm just saying, Powerball that name in the name of Jesus, and then tithe for the glory of God. But seriously, listen to me. God wants to bless every aspect of our lives. This should not be a funny, weird, awkward topic in church. Because the Bible says in Psalms 37, he delights in every detail of our life. I'm just choosing the top three that cause families to divorce. It causes people to get all worked up. People go crazy over money. People don't, you know, there's so many different angles to this. So you and I have to choose to submit. Do we put our money under the hand of God? And we learn, now Summer and I, we do our money off Dave Ramsey, which I believe is biblical principles. It takes time. It's not a rich, quick scheme, but it yields wealth over time. And I want to say this. When you and I operate our money under the plan of God, poverty can be broken off of our family. I'm going to say it again. Poverty can be broken off of our family. God can elevate you and prosper you financially, and that's not wrong. Because Jabez said, oh, God, bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be upon me. And the Bible says God granted his request. And so when my money's under the hand of God, I'm living on a budget. I'm giving tithes and offerings to the Lord. That's 10%. Some of us, we give over that, but we're giving to the Lord. And here's what the Bible says. Bring all the tithes and offerings into the church. And when you do, he will, and the Bible says, test him. It's God talking. He says, test me in this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You don't have room enough to receive it. I will protect your crops. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Your fruit will not cast before its time, and you shall be a beautiful land. Come on, this is what God says. Now, either we're going to believe it, or we're gonna maybe do it our way. Now, we can do it our way. We can do marriage under our hand, and some people do that. We can do money under our hand, and a lot of people do that. And some people do it well to their ability. But why would any of us wanna do life in any aspect without the hand of God being on us? I want the hand of God on my marriage. I want the hand of God on my money. And I want to trust God with every area of my life, including this, so that God can lift me up at the right time. Then the worries and the cares and the anxiety, I cast them onto God because he cares for me. So I want to ask you today, is your marriage under God's hand? Is your money under God's hand? Let God move. Here's the third one. This can be, well, I'll just say relationships. This can be friends, extended family, coworkers. I mean, roommates. This is just relationships. If you think about it, our greatest joy and greatest pain come through relationships. This is where we live. This is what we're navigating every day. Ups, downs, heart full of joy, heart full of sadness. Let down, and then, you know, we're let up. I don't know what that means, but we're fulfilled. We're happy. Is our relationships under the hand of God? Having the right friends to do life with. That means, what am I talking about? We have friends, we've preached here, have friends that are not Christians, have friends that are not like you. But now I'm talking about who are the friends that you're doing life with, that you're sharing faith with, that you're moving forward with. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, that bad company corrupts good character. So I have friends that I've grown up with. They don't believe like me, live like me, but they're true friends, but I meet them on common ground. But who I'm really sharing life with in intimacy in terms of you know, weaknesses, vulnerabilities. I need help. I need support. I have guys around me that are helping build my character, not corrupt my character. But I'm so are my relationships under the hand of God, or am I going to do relationships my way? Now, here's what this looks like. When I do relationships under God's way, here's how this looks. Under God's hand, relationships look like this. I forgive others. I serve others. I give. I'm generous to others. I'm learning new things about myself and about them. I'm developing as a person. I'm friends with people that are different than me. I'm not being bound up by, you know, racism economic status. No, I'm an open person. I'm not letting that stuff define me. I'm walking in the love of God. That's what just examples of what it looks like to be having relationships under the hand of God. Relationship under our hand looks like this. Sometimes forgive. Our hand relationships tend to echo, I'll forgive them if I feel like it. I'll forgive them if they forgive me first. If they say sorry, then I'll forgive them. I'm not going to serve them until they serve me. I'm not giving anything to them. No one gave anything to me. Until they give me something, I'm not giving them nothing. Not learning new things. This is who I am. I don't care what you think. You can take it or leave it. This is what I'm doing. Well, that's not. Is that pride or humility? Being friends under our hand, we tend to do this. We're only friends with people that vote like us, look like us, think like us, believe like us. We box ourselves in. Everyone else is out. Is that what Jesus wants us to do? My hand, God's hand. Am I going to let God hold my world in his hand? Or I'm going to take control and say, my world's in my own hand. I'm going to do marriage the way I want to. I'll define what sex is. I'll define what I can do and what I can't do. I'll define how I treat my wife. I'll define the whole thing because I'm my own man. Okay. No one's going to tell me anything about my money. I'm my own man, and I'm going to do what I want to do. In relationships, you can have me or leave me. I don't care. The Bible says in Luke chapter 7 that wisdom is made perfect by its result. In other words, every decision that we make, time tells if that was right or wrong. Just remember that. Every time we make a decision, people over the years, God told me to do this. It's total chaos. I said, okay. You're not asking for advice. You're not asking. You go do it. And then time tells whether it was right or not. I'm going to do that. I'm going to marry this person because I want to. I'm not going to have any counsel, any advice. I'm going to do what I want to do at all cost. Okay? Time will tell. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to serve God. I'm not going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to do what I want to do. Again, you have the right to do that. Time tells whether your decision was right or wrong. I don't know about you, but I want time to tell a good story about me because I've made decisions to the best. Now, I'm not perfect, but to the best of my ability, I've made decisions from being under the hand of God and letting God lead my life. I'm talking to adults right now in this room and online, teenagers and everyone else in between, that at times we all want to take control and just do it our way. Trust me, I know. But there's a secret to letting God have our world and hold it in his hand. And that comes through humility. It's saying, I can't, you can. I don't know, you know. I can't fix it, you can fix it. In these three areas today that I think are very pressing things in our everyday life, marriage, potential marriage, money, and relationships in general. These three things, I'm going to give to God. I'm going to be under the hand of God, and I'm going to let God lead my life. So I would ask you today, in closing, these three areas, marriage, money, relationships, are there any excuses you've been making in those three areas? And then what adjustments would the Holy Spirit be asking of us today to make? To let God move in and touch these areas and more of our life. And letting God have his way. This is a covenant. God has already promised to do what he said. Our decision in the covenant, our part of the covenant, is to say, God, I'm going to humble myself and be under your hand. And I'm going to let you dictate my behavior based on what you said to do. Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit in my life. Recently, I saw a movie called The Covenant with a bunch of pastor friends. And I was told not to tell the whole movie, so I'm not going to do that in this service. Amen. But it's inspirational, and I think about that movie because of Memorial Day weekend. But an American lieutenant leading a platoon has an Afghani interpreter. Everyone in his platoon is murdered, and then they're on a journey of the lieutenant's life being saved by the interpreter, and then eventually getting a discharge from injury and having a covenant with this interpreter who saved his life to then help him be free and gain citizenship in the United States. It's a true story. I don't advocate you watch it because it's rated R. People get a little weird about stuff like that, but it was me and a bunch of preachers watching it, amen. But it speaks to me that American lieutenant, there was a step toward him for his life, and then he stepped back toward his new friend, and something happened that was worth a movie and worth us thinking about. God came and sent Jesus, shed his blood on the cross. When we call on the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. We call on Jesus, he saves us. He came, he did his part of the covenant. Now it's our part to reach back to him. For this message today, he has the whole world in his hands. The question is, will you and I give him our world every day? He came to save. He came to be with us, walk with us, move in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives with us. And now it's our job, and you really think about any topic of your life and my life, but let's just use these three today. But marriage, your future marriage, idea of all that. Okay, God, I'm linking up with you, your way. Now we're in covenant. I'm under your hand. Finances, your way. I'm under your hand. Relationships, hurt, disappointed, rejected, devastated, good, bad, ugly, all that. Yes, we all go through it. Your way, covenant. I come into covenant with you. I'm gonna do it your way. I'm going to be under your mighty hand. And the Bible says in due time, he will lift us up. So no matter what has tried to push you down, God will always lift you up. God will always elevate you. God will always protect you. God will always keep you. God will always do what he said he would do. He came. Our time, our part is to say, yes, God, I yield to you. We receive what he said and we do what he says. And then we receive the promises of God, which the Bible says, are yes and amen. So today, will you let God hold your world in his hands? Trust me, it's the safest place to be. Under the hand of God is the safest place, healthiest place, best place, coolest place. I don't know any other words to say. Most rad, most hip, whatever. Put it under his hand. Please bow your heart and bow your head to heaven. We do this. We're not here to embarrass you. We're here to help lead everyone one step closer to Jesus. in this room and online, you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. I've never called on the name of the Lord to save me. I've never said, Jesus, save me. Others would say, I have done that, but because of whatever reason, I've drifted far from God, and I need to come back and get my life right with God today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you've never done that, I would ask you here in a moment to respond and call on Jesus and let your life be made right with God and move forward in what God is saying to you. So you've never received Christ, and or you have, but you've drifted away. And now you know you need to come back to him. Heads bowed, hearts bowed, in the room and online. And you would say, yes, that's me. Raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today in this place. God bless you today. God bless you today. Excellent. God bless you today. Good. God bless you today. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Excellent. God bless you. Come on, give it up for folks. Come in. God bless you. Good. Come into Jesus today. Excellent. Why not start on a holiday weekend? Then you would say, you know, Pastor Dave, if I think about my life, there are times where I'm in a power and control wrestling match, and I need to yield my life more into God's hand. And today, again, you discussed three major things, marriage, money, and relationships, but it could be so many more things. And you would say, yes, I need to yield to God. Maybe all three or one of those. I just need to start somewhere and choose humility over pride and let God be the leader of my life. And I want to take one step toward that today. Go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room. Good. Hands up all over. Good. Excellent. Follow me and say out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I give you all of me. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I choose to be under your hand, your leadership, your empowerment, your guidance, your ways. I'm yours. Use me for your glory in every area of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give it up for Jesus today. What do you think?